Have your Bibles this morning. Turns with me in Psalms 119. A friend of mine sent me a thing that a preacher was taking a stand on today's political views and what's happening in the world. My fear is that we've gone to one extreme or the other. We have those preachers out there that don't preach anything, like Joel Osteen. Heard a message from him and shared it Wednesday night, that he said that he had the authority of God to bless this stadium of people after he told these people that God was going to give them this and God was going to give them that, all these material blessings. And yes, God does bless, but understand what God came to give is a spiritual blessing, and as the Holy Spirit, which is His Spirit. Then you've got the other side of these preachers that take these political views, whether it be homosexuality, abortion, whatever, and they make God's word very political. I'm not sure where people go anymore. I'm not sure where people, we're changing the Bible. We've got different versions of the Bible that eliminate certain important scriptures in there. I don't know what people are going to do. But God's word does say that God, that His Spirit will not always strive with man. It also says that there's going to come a time where there are people that are going to persecute you, that when you stand on the Word of God, thinking that they're doing something good for God. And you see, that's where we're at. You see, Jesus was a master at dealing with sinners. He could go in amongst the sinners, but He never compromised who He was. And He never condoned what they were. You see, He was the light. He was the light of the world. And as long as He was in the world, He was that light. And He shone into the darkness of man's heart so that man would be able to see who God is and why God came and why God sent His Son. He did not send His Son so we could fight politically. He did not send His Son that we could condemn a world that was already condemned by God. That is not the purpose of the church. We have missed it, folks. It's all because we have not asked God to reveal to us His Word. We've not sat down quietly with God, with His Holy Scripture, and say, God, these are Your Scriptures, and if You don't reveal them to me, I cannot even begin to understand what this is all about. So you see, man, because they can't understand, thinks they have to explain everything. Well, you can't explain God. There is no explanation for Him. There's no explanation for His Word, other than He's holy and He's righteous and He acts upon a righteousness and a holiness, and that's how He deals with us. Look at the scriptures. Psalms 119, beginning in verse 129. It says, "Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul observes them." See, God has made a testimony. It says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that is in the presence of Almighty God, is Jesus Christ. See, that's why the virgin birth was so important, was because He had the nature of God. Jesus was the Word of God, but He also was the true essence and the nature of God. He was holy. He couldn't have sinned if He wanted to, because His Father was different than my Father and your Father. He says in verse 130, he says, "The unfolding of Your words gives light." It gives understanding to the simple. See, we have forgotten what this is all about. It's about us looking and being revealed by God who we are. He shines a light. Why do you use a light for? What's the purpose of you taking and us turning these lights on? It's so that we can see, is it not? Well, Jesus was that spiritual light that man needed. Because we couldn't see. We don't know what we are. We're born in our iniquity. It says, you know, first comes flesh and then comes the spirit. So we're born in our iniquity because our fathers had sinned, our mothers had sinned. And so we're born in that iniquity. We're born condemned. We're born separated from God, and there's nothing we can do about it. That's just a state of being. See, that's not what's taught. It's like, oh, if I do more good than I do bad, then God's okay with me. Or if I sacrifice a lot, then God's okay. No, he's not. He's only okay if you're born again. You have to be rebirthed because that flesh is perishable. You read right here. It says, born again, not of perishable seed. Okay? We're born of perishable seed. This flesh is going to die, and you can't do anything about it. I don't care how many vitamins you take. I don't care how much you work out. I don't care how much money you have or how money you don't have. I don't care how tall you are. I don't care how short you are. You're born in a perishable seed. God says, I'm going to rebirth you with an imperishable seed. And it's through the living and enduring word of God is how that happens. And then you have to go over to this banner, which says, but you're a new creation now. When you are born again, you are not, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. You're this new creation. Therefore, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's not being taught. Somehow we have this religion of Jesus that we hold on to Jesus, and we can't get past Jesus, and we never know who God is. So if Jesus is the light, his purpose was to shine that light upon God. He was never supposed to be an instrument of worship. I can never find anywhere in Scripture where God demands us to worship Jesus Christ. Nowhere. It says that the angels will worship him. It says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that's an authoritative position that God gave him over all creation. Jesus himself would not even consider himself equal with God. When the young ruler came and said, oh, good teacher, he says, whoa, why are you calling me good? There's no one good but God. You see, we've forgotten what the light is about. The light is for a path so that we, being born in our dead in our trespasses of sin, blinded by the sin in our lives, to show us what we are and who we are before Almighty God, and to show us the way to God. Jesus was the light. He's the light of the world. He's showing the world the way to God. And it's only you can come to God is through Christ. Jesus was the instrument that God used to reconcile people to himself. There are people that are Jesus and fanatic freaks of Jesus, and they never go to know who God is. Jesus, when he was asked, how do I pray? I don't know how to pray. And Jesus said, you pray this way. Our Father. Don't you like how Jesus included God as his Father? It says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Recognizing first his holiness. See, so many people are praying to Jesus. It's no different than when the priests were there in the Old Testament and they had to go to the priest to go to God. Well, Jesus is that high priest. He's just that intermediary between God and man that allows us to go through Jesus so we go to God, straight to God. Nowhere in there does it say pray to Jesus. Nowhere in Scripture does it say pray to Jesus. You can't find it. It's not there. Jesus himself even taught that you pray to God. But understand, it's only through Jesus that we can come to God. There's no other way. No other way. You see, man has made Jesus into something that he wasn't supposed to be. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Son of Almighty God. Yes, he's all of those things. But more than that, he was a light to the world so that we can know truth and we can know how to get out of our plight You see, that's why I have a problem with these radical preachers that go out there and they're condemning all of the sin that's out there. But their sin doesn't stink. The church's position was never to expose man's sin, but was to be a light so that they might be able to find their way to a God that can deliver them from the bondage of sin. See, when we stopped being what we were supposed to be, and we've allowed the world to grab hold and let man define the things of God, is how things have gotten out of hand. See, it's the unfolding of your word. It's that living of the word that you sent. And now God has given us a written word. Every holy scripture was inspired by God, not man. Therefore, it is not for man to determine its meaning, interpretation, but God makes it very clear that it's a revelation. And if you don't sit down with God with the right heart, you'll never get this. Had a good friend that died this recently, unexpectedly yesterday, and I'm reading some of the stuff that his children are writing. He was very much about Jesus. And the things that his children are writing is that, well, he couldn't wait to meet Jesus, and I know he's down there looking on us, and I hope he's having fun with all of our pets that have gone before us. And all these earthly things they think's going on in heaven. But see, he was all about Jesus. But I think he was so caught up with Jesus, he never got to know God. I don't know that. I can't determine what his heart is. I'm not going to say that, what his heart is, because I'm not the one to determine that. But I know that if the relationship that we're supposed to have is with God, it's just through Jesus that we're supposed to have it. It's not just a relationship with Jesus. Nowhere in Scripture does it say to accept Jesus Christ in your heart. That's not in there either. Did you know that? You better not listen to me. You better check it out for yourself. You better not listen to your preacher. You better not listen to your parents. You better listen to God's holy word, because none of that stuff is in here. He goes on to say, I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. He had a yearning in his soul that he wanted to be right with God, not do something for God. There's a difference in being right with God and trying to do things for God, because there's nothing in the flesh that you can do for God that pleases him. He says in verse 130, turn to me and be gracious. He's begging, he's pleading Almighty God, after your manner with those who you love, who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word. Where do we establish the footsteps? Not in our word, not in our righteousness, but in his word. Says his word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I think it's over there. We'll just go down the walls. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have gotten so confused on why Jesus came. We've got so confused on what this is all about, that people are dying and going to hell, that people are thinking they're going to heaven, and they're going to stand before God. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because we've not taken the simple word of God and believed it. No, we try to explain it. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let my iniquity have dominion over me. Look what he's doing here. He's not saying, God, I'm going to turn over the new leaf. He's not saying, I'm going to try better tomorrow. He's not saying that, you know what, a new day comes tomorrow. It's going to be different. He says, God, no, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. He comes to that point in his life that he realizes that he can't do anything about the situation he's in. The word of God has illuminated what he is. And he says, oh, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm hopelessly lost, and I'm going to perish. And by the way, John 3:16 was so that we wouldn't perish. That's why he sent his son. But this guy, he's in agony over what the Word of God has shown that he is. You see, the reason we sin is because we have the nature of sin. It's not the sin that makes us bad. It's the heart that we have. Because we have the heart of Adam. The nature of Adam is all we have. And that's all we can be without God's grace and mercy. But it says, don't let it have dominion over me. See, so many people want to be saved by Jesus. Well, guess what? Yeah, he was the Savior of all mankind, but it says also he came to cleanse us. And not only cleanse us, but release us from the bondage of sin so our iniquity does not have dominion over us. Then he begs, redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts, not the precepts of men. A theologian doesn't know anything about this book. Do you understand me? Theologians know absolutely nothing about God's truth. Or they wouldn't need to write another book. They would honor this book and tell you what this book says, not what they think it says. See, and redeem me from the oppression of man. Why? Why? That I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. The scripture says that you need no man to teach you. But the Holy Spirit will do that. See, the preacher's job is to shine the light on the one that can shine the light in your life. That's the only purpose of a preacher. He's not supposed to tell you what it means. He's supposed to reveal to you the one that shines the light in your darkness. My eyes shed streams of water because I not keep your law. See, this man's broken. He's broken in the plight of who he is. And you know he can't do anything about it. You see, religion has allowed people to go to church, but it prevents them from becoming the church. And I've told you before, if you came to church this morning, you're lost. Because you're supposed to be the church. And your purpose for gathering is to worship God. Do you understand? See, if you went to church, you're lost. See, we got too many people coming to church, and very few people who are the church. Let's look at John 9. One through 12. He goes on, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth. And disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Back in this time, they believed that whatever befell you, if it was bad, then God was mad at you. And if you were doing well, then God was pleased with you, which is can't be further from the truth, because Satan has been given authority. God has granted authority to Satan. This is his paradise. And see, Satan blesses people so that they think they're okay with God. See, Satan's deception is that he wants you to believe that you're okay with God by what you're doing, what you think. That's his greatest, one of his greatest deceptions. He's not denying God, but he can't, because he can't. But if he can convince you that you're okay with God by merely what you're doing instead of who you are, then he has accomplished his task. So Jesus answered, "It's neither that this man sinned or his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. He was an instrument of God for this particular time in the world, so that God could come by and manifest his power through his son, Jesus Christ, to show the world that he has authority over all things." When he said, "I've given you authority over all things," he meant it. The weather. He could calm the seas with a spoken word. He could raise the dead, make the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. And when he accomplished his work upon the cross, then he provided a way for me and you. Because see, we're born dead in our trespasses of sin. We are born blind. See, and the reason we're blind is because of our Father. Because of Adam, when they sinned in the garden, then they passed that sin on from generation to generation to generation. So again, the parallel here is this. This man was there for God's purpose, and he was born blind. You and I are born blind because of our sin, because of the sin of man. Jesus answers, neither this man sinned or his parents, if the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as this day, night is coming when no one can work. Again, indicating that he was here for a purpose. Jesus was going to be here for a very short period of time. And he had a work to accomplish, his greatest work, that he would live a life without sin so that he could be the unblemished Lamb of God, go to the cross so that he might be that once and for all sacrifice for mankind's sin, that he would become the high priest who now we go through him to go to God. He says, "While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." He said, "I'm showing man their way." Without the spiritual light, you cannot know your way. We have all these religions and all these denominations, which are an abomination to God. Because if there's one spirit and there's one God and there's one faith, then why do we have so many different messages? Because we've decided to teach the precepts of man of what they decide what God says instead of what God's word says. See, when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." See, it's amazing. God is not, you cannot put him in a textbook. You cannot put him on a mythology list. I've seen in scripture where he said, "Oh, just go ahead and see." He spat on the ground, did all kinds of things, and then told the guy, "Go do something," and then he'd get his sight. Jesus didn't have a pattern. He doesn't have a pattern in your life. So don't buy a book. How to build a church. How to walk a Christian life. Tell you what. This is the only one you need. Because it's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And yet, what do? We go to the bookstore. I want to walk a better life. And we listen to men instead of God. Told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. If you want to see, you better come to the light. But you can't come to the light unless the light draws you. See, this is one of those things about God that no one is happy about. You see, there's no fear of God anymore. See, religion has made you just come to God whenever you're ready. You're down on your luck. You need to try something different in life. Well, won't you try this Jesus thing? Well, the Jesus thing ain't going to work for you. No, we ought to be on our knees and say, God, don't let me be one of those that Satan comes and grasps the truth from me. You read the parable about the sower of the seed. Man, if that doesn't put the fear of God in you. You see, we don't believe eternity exists. I don't think we believe that there's a true hell. I think we believe now what man is teaching, that God loves everybody, and he does. But he's more holy than loving. So if you don't become righteous and holy like he's righteous and holy, you can't be in his presence. In verse 8, therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is this not the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Others were saying, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I'm the one. So my life has radically been changed. I was born blind and now I can see. See, that's how our life should be spiritually, is a radical change. Once we begin to see, as God allows us to see, as God draws us into his presence through his word, and we sit quietly with his word, and we ask God to have mercy upon this rotten soul that I have, and this rotten heart. It's deceitful since my youth, because that's all it can be. Have mercy on me, oh God. See, I think we tread on God's mercy too easily. And we think he's just all there waiting for... So they've got this picture of God like this. You know, we just run to him when we want to. When Jesus' word says very clearly, no one comes to the Father but through me. No one comes to the Father that's not drawn by the Father. No one knows the Father but the Son, and no one knows the Son but the Father in whom he pleases to reveal him. So therefore, there's that aspect that God, we have to seek God when he calls us. So if you hear God's word, that hearing come from? What does Scripture say hearing comes from? From the word of God. Where does faith come from? From hearing. So if you're not taking the word of God, you cannot hear. You cannot hear truth apart from the word of God. And there's got to be a fear. Don't believe me, please. Go test me, please. Test this spirit, please. I beg you to test me. You pick up God's word and see how many times fears in the Bible. And what God expects us to do is to fear him. Not be afraid of him. There's a difference in being afraid and fearing. So he answered, this is verse 11. Verse 10. It says, so they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? You see, kind of like, be ready in season and out of season for the reason you have hope. See, if you've not had a born-again experience, you have no hope. So therefore, you have to cram scriptures down people's throat. That means nothing to them, because the natural man cannot discern spiritual things because they're spiritually appraised. The Bible says that. So we cram... Instead of living the life we're supposed to live, we cram scripture down people's throat. That's easier. But for us to have the character of God and live it, win without a word, huh? Isn't that what it says? Isn't that the biblical truth that it says in there? If a woman has an unbelieving husband, that she's supposed to win him without a word? See, when people tell you that they're Christians, which you know how I feel about being called a Christian because God didn't call us Christians. Oh, that's another one people will have to struggle with. People like to call themselves Christians, but this is a religious Christian. God never called us Christians. He called us children of God. He called us sons and daughters. but he never, ever called us Christians. It's not in there. But see, we just grab these terms that humans come out there and give us, and we think, whoa, look at us now. So he answered the man, in verse 11, he answered the man who is called Jesus, made clay and anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. Man, I received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I don't know where he's at. To you and I, he's supposed to know. But he's never been there. You're not going to know. In life, for you will be when you stand before Almighty God. If you stand before, well, you will stand before him. And when you stand before him, if he says, depart from me, I never knew you. But wait a minute. I went to church. I didn't come to worship. I went to church. I read your Bible. I prayed. I did all of those acts that man has said will make you okay with God. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. And cast into the outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 4, 14, 16, and I'll close real quick. I'm just going to read this because I want you to think about this week. We're not the judge of the world. We're not to determine who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. It's never been our responsibility. Here's your responsibility. Again, this is chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 14. He didn't say you might be a light. He says you are the light of the world. See, when Jesus was here, he was the light of the world. When Jesus was taken up by the Father, and he's sitting at the right hand of God, acting as a high priest, interceding for me and you, he now has transferred that responsibility to you who are a child of God to be a light. Do you know the light, if we were to turn that light off, and every one of us differently went over there and turned that light on and off, the light doesn't care who's turning it on and off. Do you get that biblical truth? We're to be a light. So it doesn't matter what your gender is or what you think your gender is, what your sexual preparation is. And I probably didn't say that right either. So he doesn't care. He didn't care how tall you are, short you are, how much money you have. The light doesn't care. The light comes on. It doesn't matter when I flip the switch. The light comes on and I can see. To the light, it doesn't matter. To us, it shouldn't matter. But yet, it doesn't mean we condone or partake in our sins or their sins. Okay? What I tell you, always look first. Yourself. When you sit down with this word by yourself, don't be looking at other folks. You look at yourself first. Okay? Huh? He didn't give us this word so that we would be a judge. He gave us this so that we would know how to be the light. Don't forget where you've come from. Don't forget the bondage that once held you and you had no choice in how you acted because you were wrapped up in that. It controlled you. You're a light to someone else to show them how they can escape the future destiny, the eternal destiny, but even the destiny you have on earth walking contrary to God's word. People say, well, today that doesn't matter. Well, we read in Sunday school about Solomon in that how important it was for the people to keep the commandments of God and keep coming back to the commandments of God, and how this king read the word of God and realized they weren't keeping the word of God, and he tore his clothes. And then you go to 1 John, it says, you say you love me. Well, then, how can you say you love me if you don't keep my commandments? So understand that we as children of God don't keep God's commandments to be saved. We keep his commandments because he allows us to, because we are saved, and he gives us a helper, the Holy Spirit, to do that. You see, this message this morning is foreign to most people. They've not heard a message from God because they have hardened their hearts to only hear messages from men. So we have to pray as a church that God allows us and teaches us how to use the light, because I don't think we're using it well. I don't think we're using it properly. I think we're very easy to judge and not look inward first. Man, this is good stuff. This is what God says. This is how it's supposed to be. Because in the radical world that we live, and the smorgasbord of religion we live in, people are going to die and go to hell because they don't have a clear path to truth. The light has been dimmed with so many things.